Tell me, what are the three apples?
Eden, Newton, and Apple Computer. So that's a title by a publisher found. I was stymied writing the book, and I was feeling very uneasy. I don't have a title. And I was thinking of ripples and stuff like that. He said, I'm going on vacation for a week. I'll come back. He went to Club Med, came back with, among other things, a title and a few sunburns. And I think it's very good because it suddenly reflects the impact of computers into culture and also the relationship with the knowledge. As our logo sometimes describes, it's an apple beaten into crossed with the rainbow colors in the wrong order. So it's lust, knowledge, hope, and anarchy rolled into one logo. That represents pretty well our company.
But what does the Garden of Eden have to do with Apple computers, or any computer for that matter?
Well, computers and the Garden of Eden deal with knowledge. And I certainly, and that's one man's perspective, but I certainly lust for knowledge. And I, and when I meet our customers, I realize that I'm not alone in my dire situation of lusting for knowledge. And computers are wonderful ways to feed your passion for getting at things, learning things, playing with the things. You know, the way you learn is not by transferring knowledge from teacher to student, for instance, like as if the student were a mere vessel. But the better way to knowledge is to be able to break things apart and reconstruct them your way, five ways or whatever. Then, if you've broken things down and put them back together, you really learn something. And computers in that vein can, whether we are at work, at home, or at school, can help us simulate things. Computers are simulation engines. And by having a good simulation engine, we can play what if, we can try, we can fail, we can try again, we can, you know, break things down, rebuild them. And I think there's a relationship between computers and the lust for knowledge, indeed.
Well, now, in the third apple, you talk about the poetry of computers. Now, how can a computer be equated to poetry?
Well, that many ways, but in my own dream about computing is that computers make me fly in a way. And, you know, if you use a good computer, you fly over seas of data, and then you can see patterns. If you are at the sea level, there are wave patterns that you don't see. So if you have a better vehicle to explore your intellectual field, that's the effect you get. It expands. It gives you it's really wings for the mind when it's a good computer and when you're able to use it well. So whether you navigate databases, whether you explore the many ways to do a financial simulation, whether you write a book using a good simulation tool, a thought organizer such as Moore or Think Tank, where you can put things in one way or another, you can really manipulate ideas while maintaining a breadth of context that your mind can handle by collapsing, paragraphs and then expanding paragraphs and then moving physically paragraphs in one place or another, including a bit of graphics to vividly depaint an idea that maybe you don't have exactly the words to depict. That's what a computer does for me, and it gives me a sense of exhilaration and power that you get, maybe reading sometimes, seeing a good movie, maybe
driving a Ferrari.
No, not exactly. Driving Ferraris has never been my thing, although I like fast cars, the CHP knows that. It's not physical power, but in some ways the restoration of something I lost. You know, I'm frustrated because I can think of relativity. matter transformed into energy and vice versa. This is something I can think easily about. It seems natural. But then when I have to translate miles per gallon into liters per 100 kilometers, I things break down because it is not a natural way of, I have to change both the ratio and the units. And then I get all confused. So surprisingly enough, we can think very powerful conceptual thoughts, and we are not very good at thinking very detailed thoughts. And what a computer gives me is the power to offload some of the dirty work onto the computer to do this drudgery type of work, and that gives me more room to think or express ideas. And when you ask me about poetry, Ray Bradbury wrote a piece called "Ode to the Quick Computer." He wrote it for Apple, and it was written on commission. And it's a very good piece. And the last two verses I remember are "So cowards, what are you afraid of?" I think computers are in the personal computers are best utilized to enhance the creative process. That's where I see the poetry. But then I have to discount maybe what I just said, because I see poetry in mathematics, and not everybody agrees with me, and that's fine. I mean, one man's, as you say in English, I believe the beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and so is the poetry.
Well, let's talk about the computer for a bit. When the earliest computers were developed, was there any comprehension that the computer would do today what it does?
I think yes. We always wanted computers. When the people who were in the computer industry, not necessarily people who are not interested in computers, but the people who are interested in computers, when they saw a computer, they said, "I want one for myself." Because they immediately, the people who created the computers, immediately saw power that they wanted for themselves. So it's a very natural, human tendency to want power for oneself. And computing power is something that has always intrigued human beings. Even before computers were invented, they were calculating machines, and people were fascinated by calculating machines because it performed things that the human mind doesn't do well. So people always wanted for themselves something that did some form of computing. Now, whether the people who invented computers and wanted computers for themselves wanted the computers we have today, I don't think so. But they had the idea of access to power.
But what I'm asking, when I got my Macintosh in the spring of 1985, I had MacWrite, word processing program. There was MacPaint. I thought that was kind of a toy. There was Microsoft File. I used that. But I had no idea it could do what it does today. For example, I don't think there was a desktop publishing program. So it, in a way, you had to understand the computer and create things for it to do. Yeah. But yet, these things were inherent in the computer to begin with. But did people know this?
Well, I think we can best describe what we do at Apple and what personal computer makers do is by providing platforms for other people to do things for the final customer. The software, the best part of the computer is the software. And today you have thousands of people writing programs for personal computers, whatever brand it is, it doesn't matter. And those people know something about legal work or medicine or page making that we, the personal computer manufacturer, don't know. And we never know because it's not our field of interest. We don't have a passion for it. But the people who they see in the computer a tool or a medium where they can express their knowledge and offer it to other people to do what they want to do, which is to write. Because desktop publishing to me is just a better way of communicating ideas across. It's not page making. Page making is only a means to an end, which is putting ideas across in a more pleasant, effective and efficient mechanically, because you spend less time, but also you can make your ideas have more impact. And both the impact and the economies of producing the impact are what made the desktop publishing so important and will continue to make desktop publishing so important.
Every time there is a technological advance, there are people who say, Our jobs are going to be destroyed. The machine is taking over our work. Tell me about the computer in the workplace, and is it displacing jobs, or is it actually creating more work for us?
First of all, I think there is the human tendency to make work. That exists. Maybe we deny it. It shouldn't happen. So, you know, when I hear about computers suppressing jobs, what I think is of ATMs and check-in terminals in airports, where instead of queuing and dealing with a disinterested, uninterested airline employee or bank teller, I can do mechanical transactions with a machine. I love machines when they do mechanical things, and I love dealing with people when they do non-mechanical, you know, human things. And I think what the business of technology is peeling apart work so that we can assign the stupid work like checking in at airline. You know, that person reads my ticket, reads my name, okay, types my name into the computer and says, yes, or no, I have a reservation, then prints a boarding pass. Well, I can go to a sort of check-in ATM, and I don't need a human to do this. I just type my name, says, is it where you're going? Yes, boom. And is this your reservation? Boom, and I get my boarding pass.
But hasn't that taken a job away from somebody who used to physically hand you this boarding pass?
Well, if that's the kind of work you love, you know, tough. You know, I think you... do you want humans to be robots? You know, the issue, do you want humans to take work away from robots? Do you want humans to have stupid work? I'd rather have someone in the waiting line going, you know, back and forth in the waiting line and saying, let me see your ticket, you know, and checking that I'm in the right waiting line. Maybe say, no, you don't need to go there. Go at the gate. Do more intelligent, service-oriented, nice work for me, you know, helping me rather than frustrating me. So let machines do the most frustrating work, and let humans do the more service oriented, the more person to person transaction work. How can you have people feeling great about doing the same task repetitively all the time?
Well, that's correct, of course, but tell that to the person who doesn't have a job and is on unemployment.
I understand, but employment is created when the jobs are done in the most efficient way, not when you create inefficiency to create job. Ultimately, you kill yourself in front of the competition. Whether that competition is nationwide or worldwide doesn't change. We have to run our industries efficiently and effectively. Efficiently is the mechanical productivity, and effectively is the creative productivity, finding, doing the right thing. You know, it's not just doing things in the right way. It's doing the right thing. That is there is a change in nature versus the changes in quantity of doing things that technology should bring about. But it's technology when it is applied by us human. In other words, applications of technology are just a reflection of who we are, just like painting is a reflection of the artist, maybe in a less noble fashion. But I don't find ATM so banal. You know, I like objects of everyday life. you know, I still marvel in front of a refrigerator. You know, how can such a complex device work for 10 years without even interrupting my thoughts? You know, I assume that the refrigerator is there. I assume the telephone is there. I assume the car will start, at least most Japanese cars. Cars are good when they have two holes, one for the key, one for the gasoline. And the cars have gone to the point where you know, you just turn and off you go. But when you look at a good car, it's incredibly complex, and you have a lot of design work and care that has been put into a good object of everyday life. So I like to assume they're there, and I still marvel at the thought, my God, telephones, they work. I'm still amazed that telephone works. You pick them up, you dial a number, you know, at the other end of the world, and after 10 seconds, bing, the phone rings and the other person picks up. I think it's wonderful.
We're concerned, or a lot of people are concerned these days, that computer technology is eroding our privacy. Is this going to be a continuing problem, do you think?
No more than it was under the Inquisition. I don't think the Inquisition or the Nazis had computers. And so it's a societal problem. Technology is that kind of technology, especially personal computers. It's your own computer, right? You can put your intellectual, physical, and financial arms around it. So I think personal computers, if anything, will do more for privacy. But you know, you still have this myth, and sometimes justified. We saw what happened at the NSC with the profs system, where unbeknownst to the user, the operators were backing up, were making tape copies of the files. So when Oliver North was destroying his files, he was destroying his files on the disks, but never on the tape, so he got caught. So the privacy was not what he thought. Well, those things will happen, but they also happen on paper. People steal paper files. So I don't think the technology is more or less a problem than before. It's how you use the technology, is how we as a society will pass the laws and enforce the laws to prevent people from misusing it. I'd rather deal with handguns myself than problems with computers. Or I'd rather deal with the fact that we cannot swim in the river next door, because we as a society didn't create and enforce laws to preserve the purity of our water so we can enjoy nature. Okay, I'd rather deal with the fact that our teachers are less paid than used car salesmen. Those are the real threats that we have in our lives today.
Jean-Louis Gasset, your enthusiasm for the computer is recognized, especially as we read The Third Apple, but there is a person who says, a computer? No way. I'm proud I have my old manual portable Royal typewriter. This is what I'm going to use. How do you address people like that who are resisting the computer technology?
First of all, I have no rights to change their mind. If that's the way they prefer it, that's fine. That's fine by me, you know, because I don't think we are in the business. You are not yet at the stage where it's ein Volk, ein Führer, ein Computer. So you know, computers are not mandatory. I'd rather have computers which are wanted, that computers which are legislated by the by the state. Number one. Number two, I think our computers are perhaps not yet attractive enough to these people. I'm fortunate enough to have a wife who is not in love with technology at all. She hates machines, any machine. So she is a constant reminder that we have to make our computers wanted. And we have to make them, you know, much simpler than they are today, much more powerful than they are today, so that we can make much simpler, so that the computer takes over more work, more encoding and decoding. You know, today, still today, even with our computers, you still have to know a little bit of Latin to go to the mass, and that's too bad.
Well, tell me about the computer of the future. What is it going to be like?
Well, there will be many different ways of personal computers, if I may. There'll be the one that you'll carry around, like I carry this notebook. There will be computers you'll write on. They will have a screen. You'll write on the screen on a horizontal screen, so it will write my long hand. There will be computers you can talk to, so that you can, in an office, people dictate a lot, for instance, so that you'll be able to dictate, and either yourself or someone else will be able to pretty up the copy that you've dictated.
Will those computers have Apples on them?
Some of these computers will have Apples on them, but I think there's going to be a growing number of computer brands, not a diminishing number of computer brands. Because contrary to the popular belief, there are today more computer manufacturers than 5 years ago. So the industry is not concentrating; it's opening up. And actually, there are more car manufacturers than 10 years ago. And some car manufacturers we thought were dying or going into obsolescence, like Jaguar or Volvo or Saab, are actually quite prosperous because they do things in a different way. And mankind doesn't want uniformity. Even if you and I wear a suit today, we don't want to wear suits in our minds. And
a moment ago, you said the computer industry is expanding, and I wonder about that. Hasn't there been, to a degree, a shakedown so that a couple of giants have emerged, and a lot of these, like the Osbornes and other computers, have just vanished?
Yeah, a couple of brands have vanished, but a couple of brands that people thought we would vanish have not vanished, and they are doing quite well. Thank you, and thanks for the marketplace. And I think you've seen new brands created, on a yearly basis. You have more entrants in the computer business than you have people exiting the computer business. So I heard a lot of stories about the shakeout, including us being shaken. It just didn't happen on a macro scale. a couple of companies like Osborne went out of business. But that's normal. It's a free market, and that's very healthy.
Well, Jean-Louis Gasset, we covered most of... I did want to ask you. The computer in Europe, now you were head of Apple France. How is the use of the computer in Europe different, if any, if there is any difference, than it is in the United States? And do they have different types of computers there?
Not really, because the things you do with a personal computer, which is to think, organize, learn, communicate, and play, those are things that are somewhat, quite a lot of cross-cultural. They go across the borders very well. So the ways, there are some nuances in the ways, and in Germany it's a little bit different than it is from France or the UK. But the basics are the same. Well, the notable difference is the use of telecommunications. I think, for instance, in France, and you can connect. There is a port in New York. There is this Minitel, this home terminal experiment, which is no longer an experiment, by the way, run by the French PTTs, where instead of having the paper phone book, you have a home terminal.
Yeah.
And it has spawned a huge industry of small servers. People in their basement or in the back of their basement who are having a computer and offering information to other people who went on the network, dating services, electronic mail services, restaurant services, take out food or take out wine and delivery services, or chocolate or caviar delivery services. So it has spawned a lot of, little cottage industry.
Now, we think of Europe as being a little behind in technology, but actually it's not, is it? And how's the Mac doing over there, by the way?
Mac's doing great. We really have a very good growth rate. I think actually Apple's growth is faster in Europe than it is in the United States. This year we'll grow our business by a little bit over 25%, which is very nice. But under Mike Spindler, the international operations, specifically Europe, are growing very, very fast.
Well, you miss those glamour days back in Paris when you were always on the list of the 10 best-dressed men in Paris?
I never was. That's a legend. I never was on the 10 best-dressed list. It came from the fact that one day Vogue asked me to pose in Vogue wearing Saint Laurent clothes, because I'm a customer of Saint Laurent. So people got the idea that because I was posing in Vogue, I was into that. Then, that's a flattering legend, but, unfortunately, that's not, I couldn't afford that.
Now, I expected to see you in a black leather jacket, and here you look very, very establishment.
Well, this is Wall Street, right? So I decided to dress the party. Well, in Rome, I like dressing the way I feel. So I don't mind having a suit or having a leather jacket or no jacket at all. At Apple, we're great on T-shirts. We wear a lot of T-shirts with funny things written on it. I saw one recently, not at Apple. It says Stanford, the Disneyland of the North. So there's a lot of T-shirt subculture in America, which I enjoy very much.
And you can put your T-shirt away, the one that says Open Mac. You don't have to wear that one anymore, do you?
No, I'd like to advertise the fact that we have an Open Mac. I think it's a very, very nice machine. People really like it. I was surprised how well it came out. I didn't expect it to be that good. And I'm very grateful to the engineers who put a lot of creativity in there to do something, even a lot of small details that our customers will appreciate when they get to use it.
I'm glad it's that good, because I put a lot of money in mine. Jean-Louis Gasset, thank you very much.
Thank you.